You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 4th of August, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I want to get into the third and probably final part today of our beginner's guide to Radio Albion. And once again, I need to start with something that I forgot to say yesterday. When I was talking about Brutus, the patriarch of Britain, now, I forgot to direct people to where they could find the information about Brutus. Now, we included him in our Greatest Britons, and we talked about his dynasty and the kings that came from him. You'll find that on the Greatest Britons page. And we also did a program on Geoffrey of Monmouth and his history of the kings of England, because that's when the Brutus myth really took off, and that's when everybody understood that that's really where we came from as the British people. But before that, there were also other history books that mentioned him. I think there was Gildas and Nennius. And if you look on the Radio Albion audiobooks page, you will find those original British histories. I believe one of them was, or maybe both of them were actually from before Bede's History of the Anglo-Saxon Peoples. And alongside that, you will also find L.A. Waddell's work on Brutus and various other authors and the research that they have done showing the origin of the British nations, basically from Phoenicia and through Troy with Brutus. And a lot of people will say that it's mythical, and we looked at the evidence for it, and we'll be looking at it again in the Patriotic History series when we eventually come to taking a closer look at Britain and the origins of the British people. So if you want to find more out about Brutus, that's where you need to go, to the Greatest Britons archive and also to the audiobooks archive. And I believe at Radio Albion, you've probably got the most information that there is on Brutus collected in one place. You might find the odd bit about him here, there, and everywhere, but you certainly won't find the hours and hours of information that we have on him here at Radio Albion. Now, another point that I was making yesterday was how Radio Albion and Patriotic Alternative both sort of came together doing the same things, trying to capitalize on our audience, trying to get people to meet up and form communities and concentrate on positive ethnocentrism, doing things for our own people. And this actually ties in with what the government are wanting to do. A report came out a couple of months ago. I talked about the report in the Daily Nationalist because, of course, we talk about news there and topics of general interest. And this was a very interesting report, and the response to it was very interesting as well. It was basically about how white working class pupils are underachieving and they're not getting the resources directed at them that they should have. And they basically don't have any hope. They don't have any stake in the system. And I was suggesting yesterday that we are directing a lot of our attention towards these neglected white working class children. We're trying to give them a stake in the system. We're trying to tell them that they are valued. We're trying to get them interested in their history and in the politics around them and get them to channel that energy that they have, the youthful energy, into doing something positive. And of course, we just get maligned in the newspapers and nobody actually talks about the positive things that we do. And in actual fact, what we're doing is exactly what the government wants people to do. And I have a report here, or it's a BBC article actually, discussing this report that the MPs produced. And they say the report highlighted a mix of challenges about the local areas where many poor white pupils lived, and also cultural factors that could limit how much support they got from their families. These underlying social problems included poor local jobs market and lack of opportunity, families with multi-generational poverty, disengaged parents with poor experience of education, and lack of community assets and social organisations. And that is exactly what we're doing here at Radio Albion and with Patriotic Alternative. Radio Albion is a social organisation. We have a chat room. Our listeners communicate with one another in the chat room. They have formed friendships. They contact one another outside of the chat room. We've particularly had people that are interested in gardening and growing their own potatoes and vegetables, and there's been a lot of conversation about that in the chat room. We also have Europeans from all over the world that join the chat room. We've got Americans, we've got Bulgarians, we've had Swiss. We had a Swiss co-host for a while. We encourage this sense of community that there is amongst Europeans that realise that we are all part of an extended family, and try to capitalise on that fact that we are part of a extended kinship group, basically. Then you have the social organisation part of this, which is what Patriotic Alternative are doing. They're specifically set up to build communities of like-minded nationalist folk that want to express positive ethnocentrism. People that want to improve their communities, that want to tidy up the local beauty areas, that want to clean up the local monuments, that want to learn from older nationalists about our history and about the sort of things that they're not actually taught in school. Because in the schools now, they try to concentrate on things that are going to be found interesting to everybody. And you may not be interested in that sort of thing because it's been targeted at somebody else. So if you're at school, you're trying to get black children interested in history, you're trying to get Indian children interested, Chinese children interested, you might be overlooking the sort of things that white children would be interested in. So we concentrate our content on whites. I mean, it's all about things that will be interesting to white people. That doesn't mean that we hate the other races. It just means that we're trying to provide for our people. We're trying to help our people. So you have a social organisation there, Patriotic Alternative, and you have a community asset, which is really Radio Albion. And it's a lack of these assets and a lack of these social organisations that the government have highlighted as being one of the reasons why these white working class children are underperforming. The article continues, in response, the committee proposes more targeted funding and making the education system feel more relevant for these communities. And that's exactly what I was just talking about there, making the education system feel more relevant for these white working class communities. Well, how do you do that? Well, you tell the white kids that they had very, very illustrious ancestors. They were good people. They tried to set a good example to the rest of the world. They may not have got everything right, but their hearts were in the right place. And you can tell these children that they are the sum of their ancestors. There is nothing that their ancestors did that they are not capable of doing themselves. You need to teach these children to be proud of our history, and then they're going to go out and be a good example, and they're going to set a good example to everybody else, and because they know that they're trying to fill these illustrious shoes. Now, the committee proposed more targeted funding. They also proposed using pupil premium funding to provide more support, family hubs to get people involved with children's learning, attract teachers to areas that can struggle to retain staff, ensure that work-related vocational education is available, and finally, find a better way to talk about racial disparities. And that is exactly what we do here at Radio Albion. We talk about the differences between the races. And we don't seek to place blame for the differences between the races. We don't say if there is a difference between the races, it must be the white man's fault. The white man should be feeling guilt. The white man has privilege. That's why the countries that he built are different to the countries that were built in Africa. We don't teach that sort of thing. We try to be positive about these things rather than negative about these things. If you're going to be directing the information that you're talking about to white people, then it needs to be interesting to white people, and it shouldn't be trying to knock them back or knock them down. And we are targeting our information towards white people. That's what the website is for. You'll find that there are plenty of websites that are there for black youth. You'll find that there are plenty of organizations that are there for specifically for black youth or other minority youth. But you won't find any organizations that are there for the white youths. And when we talk about race here at Radio Albion, we're talking about facts and we're talking about statistics. We're talking in a scientific way that explains these differences that there are between the races, the different disparities. We don't say that because there are more black people in prison, that means the police must be racist and the judges must be racist. We say if there are more black people in prison, then it's probably very likely for the same reason why there are more men in prison than there are women. And the answer to that is because men commit more crimes. That's why there are more men in prison than women. And we would suggest that if you look at countries that are majority black, if you look at places like Haiti, or if you look at cities like Detroit or Baltimore in America, you will see that they have very high crime rates. And that would predict that if you had black people living elsewhere in the world, you would also find a high crime rate. And that is not to run black people down, because we suggest that the reason for that high crime rate is because they are a different people to us. It's not because we are superior and they are inferior. It is just because they are different people to us. It's like, is a cat superior to a dog? It's an irrelevant question, isn't it? Cats are different to dogs. And races are different to one another. They are objectively different. You can measure the differences. You can measure the differences in the bone structure, in the bone density, in the blood types, in the features, in the sound of the voice. There are so many differences between the races. This is why forensic scientists can dig up a body and they can tell you exactly what race the person was, because it's not a social construct. It's a biological reality. If you look at the genetics of it all, you get genetic clusters. Okay, at the edges of the clusters, you might get some bleed through into other genetic clusters, but the bulk of them are in the center. And what that translates into, we can make accurate predictions about what race somebody is by looking at their genes. It's not a social construct. And this is not racism. We're not saying one group is better than the other. We're just saying that these groups are all different. And we would suggest that there are better ways to deal with these differences than to be penalizing one group and trying to raise up another group, because then you have a society where not everybody is equal. If you have a society that promotes diversity quotas, say, and you're more likely to get a job or the position that you want because of your race, then that means another race is going to be discriminated against. What we advocate for is a meritocratic society where the person who is best qualified, best suited for the job, gets the position, so that people are served by the best people for that role, rather than people being served by somebody that has been put in that role because of what race they are. And you can extend this to sexuality, gender, all the different diversity quotas that we have actually mean a lowering of standards. And it means that you will have people in positions that are going to find that position very hard to keep up to the standards associated with it, because they've been promoted to that position not on merit, but because of what race they are, which is ludicrous when they're told that that is not the way we should be and we shouldn't be discriminating against people. And in actual fact, with diversity quotas, we are discriminating against white people. So our solution to this would be that the different racial groups or the different ethnicities had their own territories. And if you were within your own territory, you were with your own group, you wouldn't be measuring yourself up against these other groups. You would just be measuring yourself up against people that were exactly the same as you. So you would have a sense of equality. You would also eliminate racism. You couldn't have racism. If you had a 100% black country, how could racism exist in that country? If you had a 100% Chinese country, it just couldn't exist. 100% white country, it wouldn't exist. How could it exist? How could there be any discrimination against anyone if the country was all filled with people exactly the same as you? And that is the natural position. I'm sure all our listeners have heard of the phrase birds of a feather flock together. And it just means that people like to be with their own kind. And when they are with their own kind, there is a sense of equality. Now, we get accused of being racist quite a lot here at Radio Albion, and I don't believe we're racist at all. We are as against racism as everybody else is. We just propose a different way of dealing with it. Now, if you look at what racism is, I've cut this out from Wikipedia. It says, racism is the belief that groups of humans possess different behavioural traits corresponding to physical appearance and can be divided based on the superiority of one race over another. That is not what we are saying. We are not saying that behavioural traits are caused by physical appearance. We are saying that there are different behavioural traits between the races, and that's based on different biology. That's not just based on a superficial physical appearance. It's based on biology. And we say that races cannot be divided based on the superiority of one race over another. I mean, what is going to be your baseline for that? How are you going to say that one race is superior to another if they are different races? You can say one person within one race is superior to another, but you cannot say that one race is superior to another. That would be like saying cats are superior to dogs or whales are superior to bears. It's ludicrous. You could not say that. And of course, you are going to favour your own people the same way as you favour your own local team, you favour your own family. And that doesn't mean that you hate all the other teams. It doesn't mean that you hate all the other families. And if you love your race, it certainly doesn't mean that you hate the other races. It means that you want the other races to love their own people as much as you love your own people. So this first description of racism here, that does not apply to us. We do not believe that groups of humans possess different behavioural traits corresponding to physical appearance. We say groups of humans possess different behavioural traits because they have different biology. And we don't say that these groups of humans can be divided based on the superiority of one race over another, because we say that you just cannot compare one race to another. It's impossible because they are a different race. It's like comparing cats to dogs. Wikipedia continue, and they say it may also mean prejudice. And as I pointed out, what we deal with here is not prejudice. It's based on facts and statistics, and we look at these facts and statistics and scientific studies, and we form our opinions from that and from pattern recognition. So what we do here is post-Judas, because the Judas is the work looking at the facts and the statistics. It says it may also mean discrimination. Well, we are trying to do away with discrimination. We suggest that life would be much better if we were governed according to our ethnicity in groups that were based on ethnicity. Essentially the same as they have in India, the same as they have in China. It's literally only the Western countries that have multiculturalism. And we believe that multiculturalism has been just as bad for us as it is for these other extended kinship groups. Racism may also mean antagonism directed against other people because they are of a different race or ethnicity. Well, we are continuously saying to our listeners, and we don't need to say it because they are very polite people, but we always recommend being as courteous as possible with others, especially if they know that you're a nationalist. You want to put across the very best example you can. You want to make the very best impression that you can. You certainly do not want to be antagonistic to anybody. Of course, PA have been accused of being antagonistic when they put out leaflets that are warning that white people will be a minority within 40 years in Britain if the trends that we see at the moment continue. And it was suggested that this was being put out in order to antagonise non-whites. It wasn't put out to antagonise non-whites, it was put out to let white people know what is going on in the news and how it may well be affecting them in the future, and that if they want to do something about that, then they need to start voting in the right way to do something about that, and they should join up with Patriotic Alternative, and we can then go along with Migration Watch and all these other organizations that are warning about this, we can then help lobby the government, and we can try to prevent ourselves becoming a minority within our own country. And as I pointed out yesterday, the ways that we would suggest that this can be done, none of them are could be considered to be violent or anti any of these other groups. The way that we suggest that this could be done is through voluntary repatriation. And you could offer a reward to people. You could say, we will pay you a certain amount of money if you wish to go back to your ancestral homeland. And we'll pay you the same amount of money if family members wish to go back there. People of non-Indigenous extraction who have ended up getting caught up in the legal system, again, they could be offered a reward if they were to go back to their ancestral homeland. And those are the positive ways that we suggest these sorts of policies could be implemented. We're certainly not talking about rounding people up and deporting them from the country. And the goal of this would just be to ensure that white people remain a majority in the countries that white people built. That's the point of it. It's not because we are anti these other people. And as I pointed out yesterday, multiculturalism is not conducive to anyone. It's really just a recipe for conflict. It's not good for other ethnicities, and it's not good for us. And although we obviously going to put our own interests first, that doesn't mean that we don't include the interests of these other peoples. If a lot of people didn't want to take up the voluntary offers, then what we could do is we could say, well, how about you have your community there? We could say to them, well, you have a lot of the, a lot of the main cities in Britain are already majority non-white. So how about you have these cities here and we'll help you to pay for the moving costs if people don't live in those cities. And then what we will do is we will give you the black teachers that you want so that you can have all black teachers in the school. We'll give you the black judges, we'll give you the black police that you want, and we'll set it up so that there is the least amount of white interference possible in the way that you go about your daily lives. And that way would eliminate the racism and it would eliminate the discrimination. And this would be the sensible way of doing things. Now, we've been told in the past that this is terrible, this is apartheid. But it is essentially what black advocacy groups are now calling for today. They are saying that they don't see themselves reflected in the teachers that they have, so they don't want to learn what the teachers are telling them. They don't see themselves reflected on the television, so they're not interested in what the television has to say, and they're not interested in taking part because everything's being done by white people. Okay, well, let's set it up so everything is being done by black people and you can be among your own people. There would be no chance whatsoever of a white police officer ever harming a black person that they're trying to arrest, because you just wouldn't have white police officers operating in that area. And at the same time, you could have white areas that were just for white people, and white people could be among their own. And you could also have, I guess you could have areas where people wanted to be multicultural and they wanted to live amongst other races, and you could have designated multicultural areas. And that would please everybody, wouldn't it? That would please the types that want to be amongst their own people. That would please the types that want to be amongst lots of other people. And then you could look and you could see which system was the most productive. You could see which system had the least crime. You could see which system got the best exam results, and which system was the most productive. Because the way that we look at it, since we've had multiculturalism, which is basically since the Second World War, the country has just gone downhill. The average IQ has dropped. The standard in education has dropped. The amount of things that we actually produce has dropped. Our position in the world has dropped. The crime rates have gone up. People's sense of community has gone down. And we are not blaming the other races for this. What we are saying is that a large portion of the reason for this is multiculturalism. And who is responsible for the policy of multiculturalism? Well, we are. Our representatives, white people, are responsible for the policy of multiculturalism. So it's white people that need to fix it. And how are we going to get white people to fix it? Well, first off, we have to discuss these things. And we have to have a conversation about it. We have to be able to have a conversation about it. And in order to have a conversation about it, you have to talk about it in a certain way, which I think we do succeed in doing here at Radio Albion. We are careful with the language that we use, because we certainly don't want people to get the wrong idea. We want people to understand that our content is aimed at white people, and it's aimed at getting white people to be the very best people that they can be. We are interested in improving society. We're interested in improving the outcomes for our people. And at the same time, I believe that if you improve the outcomes and you concentrate on the outcomes for one particular group, then other groups are going to start concentrating on the outcomes for their particular group as well. And you may get a bit of competition between them. And that would just generally raise up the conditions of everybody. I sincerely believe that nationalism is the very best system to have for all peoples in the world, because it means that all the energy of that group is harnessed together and pushing in one direction in trying to do the very best for that group. When you have multiculturalism, you've got lots of groups that are competing within one another, and the country is getting pushed in one direction and pulled in another direction. And you've got one group of people that see history in one way, and you've got another group of people that see history in another way, and the country ends up pulling itself apart. And we don't want our countries to pull themselves apart. We don't want to see our countries descend into civil war. And we're warning about these things. We're warning about these things because we love our people, we love our country, and we want the best for everyone. And that's it. There is no hate there. There is no racism there. It is all about trying to be the very best people that we can be. And that is what we are trying to achieve here at Radio Albion. That is the point of RadioAlbion.com. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk radio for the nationalist community.